Welcome and thanks for listening. My name is Christian Buckley and you're listening to the Collab Talk podcast. In this episode, I'm talking with Heather Cook from Microsoft, who will share some of her extensive experience on growing and nurturing a technical community. Let's get started. And welcome to another episode of the Collab Talk podcast, where we discuss the convergence of technology, business productivity, and collaboration culture. Always love discussing the cultural aspects of that. My guest today is Heather Cook. Hello, Heather.
Hi, Christian. Hello. Hello.
She is a principal PM manager with the Microsoft 365 Customer Advocacy Group at Microsoft. And we're talking today about growing and nurturing a technical community. And so Heather and I go way back. Yeah. I was trying to remember. I think I actually ran it. I don't remember if I met you, but I met some folks on your old team back in the day when you were working with Microsoft on other events while I was still at Microsoft. Because I was involved as an employee at the first two SharePoint conferences. Mm-hmm. So the Seattle, the Microsoft, and Seattle, the one, was it on Redmond, the first one? I don't remember. Anyway.
Yeah, the first one was Redmond in the way back machine, for sure. Like 2002?
No, the official one. I know there was the unofficial one that was like on campus. Mm-hmm. So the first one, the big one, which was in Bellevue, I think.
Yeah, sure. Yeah.
2006 or 2007 or something like that. 2006, must have been 2006. There were two. Mm-hmm. that were in the vicinity before moving to Vegas in 2009. Vegas.
And then the one in Anaheim too.
Yeah, the Anaheim one. Anyway, we go way back. That was my point there.
Yes.
So I know that because you helped with those, you were involved with TechEd and a bunch of other things for Microsoft as a vendor.
Yep.
And then you worked for, I'll let you talk about a little bit about your background, but specifically, you recently changed roles. So I'd love to hear what you were doing, now what you are doing.
Sure. Yeah. So let's see. So recently, for the last almost, well, I would say 3.5 years, I came back to Microsoft as a full-time employee, FTE, for all of you acronym junkies, back June of 2020. So during COVID. Which, you know, was wonderful for me in many ways to go back to a full-time job because having a consulting business and being someone who was flying around the world speaking and getting paid to do that, you know, that all stopped right then. So I was really happy to find a way to pay for my condo. So, and also, you know, being in the Microsoft ecosystem for such a long time, you know, folks like Carol Wanagatimu and Donna Sakar, you know, recommended me for things. And so I took that job working for Charles Lamanna, the corporate vice president for Power Platform and Dynamics 365, BizApps. And yeah, it was cool because, you know, I knew some about those products, you know, Power BI being, you know, the one that's around, had been around the longest in that whole area. But, you know, the words power and platform really came together in 2019. Mm-hmm. And so kind of right before all of that. So it was really fun to jump into a new burgeoning community, if you will, and to help grow that to where it's at today and, you know, work on conferences, work on, you know, just fireside chats and all kinds of things. You know, my job changed a bit through the course of the 3.5 years. So working, I had a team of folks, of community evangelists that I was working with that each kind of carried like a Power Apps or a Power Automate in different places, stuff like that. We had a video crew team, we had comms teams and all of that, really trying to amplify things that were happening in the community, working on events together, and then, you know, working with our partners in product marketing, working with our engineering teams and getting them all set and ready to go out and speak at events. Working with them on, you know, launches and what we were in, and really connecting the Microsoft MVPs, most valuable professionals, with the product teams to make sure, you know, they were talking to each other and, you know, features were getting looked at pre-come out. But, and that's the whole, you know, piece of that being an MVP, which you are, you know, all of this, Christian, but, you know, doing a lot of that work. So, you know, a lot of advocacy, a lot of community engagement and building of programs, trying to say, hey, community, what do you want? What can Microsoft build for you? What things can we put out into the world to help our community of technical skilling and sharing and all of that? So I get to lead a lot of that for Power Platform and Dynamics 365. Super fun. And then I shifted into more of a role that was focused on events, strategy and evangelism. And then, it sort of came up in the fall. We started a program called Microsoft Global Community Initiative during this time. And I had partnered with Caruana Gatimu on that, who runs the team that I'm on now. And she and I have collaborated together for years. Mm-hmm. You know, she's hired me, you know, as a vendor and other things. And so
for her some background too, Caruana and I, back in 2010, mm-hmm. we started second or the third, I think it was the third SharePoint Saturday. We started SharePoint Saturday, Los Angeles, mm-hmm. ran that together back in 2010.
Yeah.
So I think that's when she was at Skechers.
She was in Skechers. Yeah. And so then she moved up to Seattle and then I moved down to LA and I took that over. Did them pre-COVID and all of that. But so it just so happened that program, we really want to make sure that program, you know, people start things a lot and then they sort of fizzle off and you're like, what happened to that thing? Right. And so I was really interested in leaning in more there and the charter for Microsoft 365 apps, you know, it's a big, there's a lot of products, a lot of community and all of that. And, you know, for me, kind of going home in a way to, you know, the place where I grew up with SharePoint and OneDrive and all of that was appealing. And so I decided to, you know, come over and do that. Adam Harmitz is awesome. Jeff Tabor, you know, I've known both of them a really long time. And it made sense for me in my career and where I want to go and the programs that I really want to concentrate on, both internally, helping build community leads and people and teams internally at Microsoft, because if we don't have that, then, you know, we don't have people paying attention to that on the inside. And that's super important. And so we're always talking about like, who's going to do this when we don't do this anymore.
Right.
You know? So it's really about legacy and, you know, building up the cadre of people who want to be, you know, program and product managers in the community space internally at Microsoft, but then also, you know, building all of these programs by listening to the community itself. So it's this nice, you know, circle. And I'm getting to do that as my charter of M365 community, you know, events and evangelization, really working on MGCI, the Global Community Initiative. Mm-hmm. And I run something internally that's called the Community Council, the MCC, because we can't have enough acronyms.
Of course not.
You know, but MCC internally builds things and we talk to each other and those things come out into the initiative, right? So it's sort of this loop of like, let's build stuff in here, work on it together across division. So, you know, you do that too. I mean, you're so good at like working with so many different people. I think that's both, maybe it's a superpower of mine, but it's also, maybe it's annoying too, because I always am looking at the big picture of like, you know, I'm a theater person. So you have to have all the elements together. So I'm like, let's put on a show. So I see all the elements. And so I see all the divisions, right? So I don't like siloed working. I want to build something that's going to help 15 people and share it. That's kind of my...
But I've always thought, like, Heather, you're very much like me, very a connector personality, mm-hmm. connector profile. And sometimes, and that's seeing all the pieces and part of that, because I've always been one of those that, like I'm able to take very complex ideas, concepts, you know, all these pieces and put it together and help explain that to people. And that kind of connector personality, put those pieces together. So I have a conversation with somebody. I said, you know who you need to talk to about this, who's involved in this piece. And that's important in community building. Something I've always thought too, as part of this, because it's funny, like you're in the new role. I said, but it's still, you're still Heather. You're still at this, like the marquee events, you're still at all of them in a slightly different role, but doing the same stuff. So that aspect of it on the outside is not really changed. You're still, I don't know if you're going to be going to like the Power Platform conference versus the M365 conference or both.
Yeah. I think to me, community is community is community. And I know people in all the aspects. And so like, to me, I'm a community builder first. My charter now is M365, so I have a focus there for sure. The other thing, though, is that, you know, Microsoft 365 and Power Platform and Dynamics 365, I mean, they're so interconnected in so many ways with so many better together stories. They're only going to keep doing more and more things that like bring them like this. So to me, if I can be the bridge, you know, I think that was one of the things, you know, that they were saying. They're like, all right, fine, you know, go over there, be the bridge. And I was like, of course. And I've been the bridge, you know, so it's kind of like, to me, it's continuing the work. And then also continuing to connect people like you were talking about, because the more people from that world knows this world is a good thing all around. Right? So,
well, one of the things, and this has been a conversation, like talk with David Warner and Hugo and even John Levesque a couple of years ago, had conversation about one of the benefits of the Power Platform community benefited from what, you know, the SharePoint community was able to build and do. And so it's often like Teeper often says, you know, like this is the, and you kind of just said it as well, like this is the best community in tech. It really is. I mean, you think about it, I'm involved in with other technologies, non-Microsoft, like nobody has a community like this. The closest I would say is that there's some really cool things that Salesforce does, but they still don't have what we have on the community side over here. Yeah.
They have a beautiful online digital first presence. Like Trailblazer is a great example of a really well done digital platform.
Yeah, it really is. I even recommend, I've pointed people, it's like, you should go take a look, go sign up and join to see how they've done that. As far as, just, you know, advocacy among partners and users. I mean, it's just a fantastic platform, and it's all gamified and the training, everything incorporated in there. Yeah. It's I wouldn't be surprised to see like the next version of adoption.microsoft kind of evolving into something like that. Yeah. That was much more.
Yeah. There's definitely, I mean, we literally internally at Microsoft, and I've been a part of it because I have a fist in the air about that for sure, is like the one Microsoft community thing and platform, way to enter, single sign-on, badges, you know, your creds like following you around and stuff. I think, you know, that is, it's utopia, but it's not, I don't think it's that far off necessarily. I think with so many of the wonderful ways that, say, Power Platform and Dynamics are connecting into the Microsoft 365 products, like that's something else that I do a lot of, is that I work a lot about how do I use our products to run this business of community, right? And so that's something that I'm going to have more focus on, of like sharing that stuff outwardly too, of like, people are like, how do you do this? And it's like, oh, well, you know, we set up a Microsoft form and we have, it goes into a Microsoft list. And then we use Power Automate to fire up notifications into a Teams channel that Ant mentions somebody so that they actually go do something.
Yeah.
That's real, you know? And so I think hopefully at some point there will be that one Microsoft community entry point, front door, whatever you want to call it. The thing is we all are, we want autonomy, but we also love our place. Like people who are SharePoint people are like ride or die SharePoint people. Same thing with PowerPoint or whoever. It's kind of where you started from. You know, you have that in your heart. And so people, it's like their cars. We take public transportation, but we love our cars, especially here in the United States. And so I feel like that it is that one big community where, you know, Microsoft Learn and support.microsoft.com and Answers and all of these great things that are, you know, have just a little bit some differences. We are having those conversations of how do we bring these more together so that it's an easier place to go to enter to. And then, you know, you can choose your own adventure, which is trademarked. Right. Can't say or use, frankly, but because I look, but anyway, but you know what I mean? That is like, that is, there's people that are thinking about that and talking about it, definitely inside, and I'm on that B team. So,
so one of my thoughts here, and I'd love to hear your thoughts on this too, is that, I mean, that again, going back to, you know, the fact that, you know, we're both very involved in a lot of the growth, the rapid growth and the success of the SharePoint community, that side of it. How much did you feel you were like, obviously leveraging a lot of that for building out the Power Platform community? Cause it rose very quickly. And a lot of things, what did you do differently? Like what did you think was, I don't know, to say, I'm trying to be nice, like that missing from the previous, like the SharePoint community stuff, but you always, but you were able to kind of leverage, like, did, how conscious were you of, hey, we're going to go take the best of this and do this, but we're going to make these tweaks here.
That's a great question. I think the other thing that I will say about the SharePoint community is that there's so much of it that frankly was just organic, you know, like it didn't have maybe intention's the wrong word, but it's just that it was the moment in time where a bunch of people got excited about something. And I'll credit Jeff Tepper to a lot of it as well, because I mean, hi, the product, but he also has a really open mind about saying yes to things that were a little bit maybe like, you know, like, and you know, a lot of that stuff. It's like, let's put hyperboats on campus and have people take pictures of them and slap a logo on them. And let's all get utilikilts and run on stage and act like warriors. And let's
there's a share quilt that's part of now officially part of the Microsoft art collection.
Yes.
That is exactly. For folks that don't know what share quilt is, it's made up of my mother-in-law actually did most of the physical labor to build that thing, but from t-shirts from all of these conferences that we've all been to, and it's now hanging on the wall in building 34.
Yeah. I went in there for a meeting for some quiet space when I was up, and I was like, oh, there that is. I was like, that's so cool. So like, but that's a great example. You know, it's like the share quilt and, you know, the Ferrari t-shirts and the Matchbox cars and the out of the box ideas to have some fun and be different and all of that, that we're like, ooh, let's build this fun, cool brand and see if we can get people excited about it. You know, it's like when the technology is awesome and hot and people are also frankly making money and being able to have lives and careers.
That helps. That does help. Yes.
Kind of helped, right. So that was true as well. Check. So I feel like some of that organicness of it, was part of what elevated everything. And then there was some intention behind, you know, going to events and doing certain things and creating, you know, helping with people get, you know, office space in the Microsoft offices for user groups and, you know, people, and lots of beautiful partners sponsoring coffee and pizza and whatnot, you know? I just feel like there was so many great pieces that were in that soup, you know, that people kept throwing in great ingredients. And so when, you know, the Power Platform community has been rising and, you know, on the scene, it's yes. I mean, I think no matter what, you always stand on the shoulders of who came before you, right? Yeah. And I think that, but because of the pandemic, you know, there was this huge light shown on, you know, the platforms and like being able to actually get to each other when we couldn't be with each other. So I feel like there was a big emphasis on that and hosting meetings in different time zones, making sure that there was a platform available for people to talk and answer questions and all of that stuff. So there was a shift into sort of digital first for that while. And I think that the intention behind that did help the community stay connected during a time when everybody could have like dispersed. And I think everybody really just wanted to connect so badly too, that I think when, you know, doing the Power Platform conference 2 years ago, you know, it was just timing of like, it was still, people were still wearing masks. People were still worried, but people, I think, were so like, I am so sick of being not, you know, and I want to see someone that I'm going to go, you know? And I don't know, you know, I mean, so I think it's like, it's timing. It's like when things happen, but I definitely think yes, and the developer communities, like we can't leave that out too. Like the developer communities, the dev divs and all of that stuff, that is so huge from the early days of Microsoft. That was that precursor to SharePoint, you know, all of those people and all of those processes and things that were there. So it all just kind of, to me, it just builds on each other for sure.
What would you say, I'm interested to hear this, that, you know, what engagement tactics, like to specifically that you've used that you think have been the most effective for building out these technical communities and supporting these technical communities? Like you're just talking about the developer community specifically within the broader community. And for example, Microsoft has started hosting suddenly just a flurry of hackathons and said, here's best practices on running hackathons. Another example that I've seen is like the Azure boot camp, and now there's the AI boot camps that started this year. With pre-created, you know, Microsoft produced content, but then local leaders, local experts to present on that content and actually demo. And we did that 2 years with the Azure boot camp. So I helped run that. We did that from the local Microsoft sales office here in Utah. But what tactics have you seen that have been the most effective?
I think that one, the local tours and local user groups are totally where it's at. And especially now coming out of this time where people are still not always going out, you know? And so I think that I think we're in a rebuilding phase, frankly, of all of those things. And the community days, you know, they're now SharePoint Saturdays becoming community days and collab days and the others. Yep. So one day free events that happen, the hackathons, like you were talking about, the boot camps, I think those are super effective. I do think that, you know, social media is always a great place to get out there. I think that, you know, unfortunately, you know, Twitter has become what it's become. And that's such a strong, has been such a strong piece of our tech community's way to communicate with each other. And I'm only there because of work, frankly. I have really switched to LinkedIn to be a place where I put out information, and I put it out for myself personally, but I also do a lot of posting about the work I do and about Microsoft. Yeah. And I'm very purposeful about that. And I also think that's our current calling card. Most people are on it who, you know, have careers and all of that stuff. And I love the being able to at mention people and, you know, like lift them up. I tell pretty much anybody in the community, and this is to all of you listening, at mention me in anything and everything you post. I will make sure to like it. I will repost it most likely. I think that's super important because we build our audiences and we build, you know, our credibility there. So I'm a big fan of LinkedIn. And then I think that, you know, the community calls are also huge. Like Vesa Jehovenin on our M365 team, who works on the developer and platform side, like he's hosted, you know, community calls forever, and he's got like 800 people joining on a weekly basis or on monthly basis. And those are huge because it's not just, and some of them are Microsoft talking, you know, to folks. And then sometimes it's folks who are demoing that are coming on from the community and doing demos as well. So you've kind of got all of those things in play, which is really cool. So
and that's something that I point a lot of people to. If you're not sure where to get started, there's advice like I just do is I do with my MVP Buzz Chat interview series. And I talk to a lot of new MVPs. I love asking about like what they're doing in local communities and how they got involved, and kind of the story for building community is always pretty much the same as invite people, show up at that meeting to see the people you invited, and then volunteer to help out. I mean, that's how community starts
100%.
And it grows from there.
Yeah, I mean, you and I have, you know, been in the sort of the fractional CMO and CMO space. You and I have both been chief marketing officers and worked in marketing a long time. And, you know, it's the omni-channel push of information. You know, it's like people are like, oh, we're going to, you know, you're like, we're going to put it one place. Well, that's great.
And one place, one time.
Right. And that's like,
done.
Yeah.
I've socialized it. Like, it's a bit more involved.
Yeah.
First. Yeah.
Totally. So, you know, it's about just like everything else, there's things that people like. There's some people that love Instagram. Some people are TikTokers. Some people are love a RSS feed. Some people love email. Some people love websites, you know? And so when you're putting things out into the universe, trying to get out in as many places as possible first, using potentially the same content and tweaking it a little bit, but then also, you know, just making sure that you're getting the message out is super important. And that will draw, I think, the most people to you because you're getting people where they like to consume content. And also it's just, you know, where the people are, right? You can't necessarily, like, I think that the platforms, the community platforms that Microsoft has are pretty successful. For sure, there's millions of followers on them. Yeah. The other thing is, though, is that you have to go where people are sometimes too, You know, like
Right.
there's huge communities on Discord. There's huge communities on Twitch. There's huge communities on Reddit. You
And
know,
Meetup is another place still. Yeah. And sometimes I'm surprised by go and find out about something and reach out and say, hey, this is, you know, this is great. Like, didn't know that this group was even, you know, together. Mm-hmm. We've been as a user group, you know, it's been around for about 14 years now.
Mm-hmm.
I've been on the board for 8 years.
Right.
And like, how are we just now hearing about you guys, you know?
Yeah.
And so you have to constantly do that outreach,
mm-hmm.
because you can't just assume that they're seeing the tweets, that they're seeing your other social posts.
Yeah. And people change jobs and people have different things going on in their lives, you know, like all of a sudden there's children or there's elderly parents you have to take care of or like whatever. There's all kinds of things going on where you ebb and flow kind of in and out of a community. You know, I've had people be like, I'm so sorry, I haven't been. And I was like, you're fine. Like, you have a life. There's things going on and, you know, you're always welcome, you know, to do whatever. Sometimes you can lurk. Sometimes you produce. Sometimes you organize. You know, there's all kinds of ways to be a community member, you know, that's what's great about it, I think, too.
What are some of the biggest challenges that you think that you see that Microsoft faces in trying to further grow and nurture these communities? Are there big problem sets that are discussed that you could share?
I think it's probably very relatable, actually. You know, it's I think it's enough time in the day, enough resources.
The lack of cloning technology is always a problem. I still complain about that.
Exactly, trying to do that. So I think, and you know, as much as, you know, all the people that we work, everybody's wicked smart, right? And it's so, and but right now, even the pace of change, especially with everything with Copilot and everything else, trying to keep up with just all the different products and all the ways that you could use them. You know, it's you got to sleep sometimes, you know. So I think that would be one, is just keeping up with the new stuff. But also I think it's like being able to really leverage and understand the basics. You know, there's all kinds of things that, you know, like we're doing, you know, there's with community stuff, a lot of the times it's about, you know, how do people sign up? How do they get the recording? How do they make sure that they can come to and attach to a meeting and that they can see the chat and that they can, you know, be a part of it in the right way? So a lot of it is just really making sure that your team understands the basic mechanics of setting up meetings and scheduling things and how to create forms and how to use Power Automate and all of that kind of stuff. So like, that's not a big, like, giant problem, but that's just like day-to-day nuts and bolts, like making, AKA, you know, short links and all of that kind of stuff and creating service accounts and just all that stuff is daily churn of a team that's trying to get external people from a company to consume and join and be a part of things and consider privacy and GDPR and, you know, all that kind of stuff as well. So those are, that's like day-to-day grindy stuff that most, you know, businesses have to deal with. I think, you know, in the larger aspects, it's also making sure that I try to get to people, and I've been doing a lot of work with human resources, frankly, and our new hire orientation to when, because it's great to have a community team, but if your product teams and your engineers don't understand or know why it's important, then that's kind of like you're missing part of the loop, you know.
I would add to that mix the regional sales offices, the people that work out of those that also don't understand that, hey, there's a community in my region. These are resources. Like, here I am. I'm a, you know, as a Microsoft regional director, an RD, there's 200 of us around the world, and an MVP. And there's about, I think about 3,500. I don't know what the official number is about that. Anyway, there's a handful of RDs and MVPs in the local region, and we can't, for the life of us, get anyone from the local Microsoft office to come participate, to pay attention, to be aware of the stuff that we're doing. You know, like, we're not asking for money. We're not asking for anything like that, but come and be aware, like we're your people. Like, come and participate.
Yes.
And make connections, leverage us.
Yeah. Yeah. And we have some part of, as part of the Global Community Initiative, the MGCI, we're having some conversations on that because, you know, for the Community Days events, I'll actually tell you where I'm going in about, I don't know, 40 minutes is I'm going to go meet some local folks here, local community members, and we're going to go over to the Microsoft Playa Vista office. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing that because here in Los Angeles, that's the one office, one that's close to me and actually still open, frankly. The other one that's closest is down in Irvine, which would be an hour drive for me. There is no office downtown anymore. And so it's really the one place where there is an actual Microsoft office. I don't work out of there. I work from home, but it is there and I can go in there.
I've been to events there. It's a great facility there.
Yep. Totally. So I was like, well, because we want to do a Community Days Los Angeles. So we'll do that again and you can come speak, Christian. So like,
yeah, I'd love to. I've been waiting for one to start. In fact, I was talking with Joel and Ryan, everybody about like, when's the next in-person happening down there? So
most likely sometime this fall. So announcing soon, as they say, but
excellent.
Literally, I'm going over there because I want to go re-meet the front desk folks and say hi and see if they've changed anything and what's going on and all of that. Now, I would love to go do that to every office, but that'd be a lot of travel for me. But one of the things that we are trying to do, I'm also meeting with real estate and facilities next week, frankly. I'm doing a lot around the switches right now because it's been kind of bugging me. So trying to connect the dots between technical sales specialists in the field and who locally, the thing is that, if you have people that are coming to an event, they are potential customer, they're a consultant, they're a partner, they're a potential everything for you. Right. And so trying to connect those dots is super important. And so the field person locally, plus the, if there is an office close to you, what is the deal with, like, how do you deal with the front desk people and are there charges for those rooms and dealing? And so I want to go talk to the real estate and facilities folks and just be like, listen, this is our program. This is what we're doing. So they know that when we submit something, it's like, oh, that's that thing. That's that Community Days thing. Oh, right. You know? So I'm trying to do that, like, because we've been doing a lot of bottom, I say, you know, from the grassroots. And so I want to come top down on it a little bit so that we have both of those things. So maybe we meet in the middle and we have more local field connectivity and we put them into a program internally, maybe give them some stuff, gamify it a little bit and be like, hey, if you're connecting with your community, maybe you gain some points and a sticker or a badge or
That's always been the case. I mean, it's funny. One of the things I talk to partners, again, I'm still providing fractional CMO services and working to help develop channel for partners within the Microsoft ecosystem. And one of the things, it's just kind of a fundamental thing about working with Microsoft is that the person that I'm talking to, that I'm trying to work with, understanding what are their annual, you know, their numbers they're trying to reach, what are they focused on? Right. And you'll more quickly get their attention and align with them. If you could say, I understand the 3-4 things that are your core metrics for this year, I could help you meet or beat those metrics. Yeah. Here's how. And have that kind of conversation with them. And so with the local offices, this is something, again, having been part of the precursor to the MGCI, you know, but been involved with these discussions for years with, and you've been involved with them as well, was that there needs to be some predefined ROI for those local folks, because like we had here locally. So again, our Azure Bootcamp is a great example. Ran that 2 years there at the office because we had someone based out of the office who sponsored us. Was there to say, yes, I'm with them and doing that. So there was no cost because we're doing Microsoft content at a Microsoft event, but we had to have that sponsor. Right. Well, he left because he left us because he went to the, he went to Redmond. So he moved up. So we've had no local sponsor, and to find somebody who kind of gets the community aspect of it has been difficult. Mm-hmm. So if there's something defined internally, that would be a great way to bridge that gap. And so that hopefully you have multiple people raising their hand. Hey, I'd like to be involved and help sponsor this to make this happen.
Yeah. There is a program that is I will say it got started and it needs a zhuzh, as I like to say. Mm. So I hope to be able to talk about that this summer. So not so far away about how we're going to Zhuzha program that is about the field. And what I'm going to introduce into it is the real estate facilities folks, hopefully, and then the business admins who run the offices. So we get that as a sort of a trifecta of, if you're looking for space. Now, not every, you know, geography has a Microsoft office, which we know that,
right.
but at least those, or an MTC, a Microsoft Technology Center. Do we have the right people who can action something like that? And I worked with this really amazing lead out of the Dynamics area. His name is Brian Rushi, and he's in Denver. And he worked with me on Community Summit, which is a big Dynamics show. Mm-hmm. And he just did such a great job getting his team of TSs in the SMC space to really get together and go to this event together, and really had a great presence there. And I think it was great for them just as a team, one, because they hadn't been together and a lot of people hadn't met and a lot of that kind of stuff from the pandemic. But also I think they really saw the value of it. And so I think it's also trying to find the right people, right? Like him in many different places where we can activate them and say, hey, you know, you as a leader, as a manager of a team, of a region, let's make sure, like if I go on a tour internally, talking to people about that, maybe that's a way we can get that. And there's succession plans for when people maybe go, right? And move on. So, but that's, you know, like hours in the day, like, you know,
Yeah. Well, one other, I just thinking of this too, it just, so I had some success with getting, so one of the things I'm doing in the RD program is I've been very active working with Microsoft for startups, a little bit with M12, with the launch promotion of the Founders Hub. So if you're an entrepreneur or a startup and looking to get involved in the Microsoft ecosystem, it's another aspect of community is over with that, like that side of Microsoft. Mm-hmm. I convinced Microsoft for startups to come and join a regional, a Salt Lake City based event, had about 20,000 attendees. It was the Silicon Slopes Tech Summit, which is an annual conference. Nice. They do it up in the, I don't know what it's called. It used to be called the Delta Center, whatever it's rebranded as, but it's where the Utah Jazz play, up in that facility. Anyway, got them to sponsor that event, and it was fantastic. It was a way they had a booth and met with people. And so they had at a hotel across the street, they did meetings with potential, you know, companies for the program and fit around that. That's another group that I would love to see more involved with at least the marquee Microsoft events. Like, why are not they not there engaging with the community at those events? It just seems like that side of it, there's a lot of startups. There are a lot of entrepreneurs that would benefit, and then they would benefit from those contacts with their programs.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah. I agree with you 100%. I mean, you and I are on the same page of, like, I believe in the power of events and people getting together and talking to each other. It's just, it's kind of like, you know, your favorite, you know, I don't know, producer, bringing people together, you know. It's like, you kind of have to have that corral of, you know, getting people in the right place. It's like, you know, putting the right people together at a dinner party, I guess. You know what I mean?
Right.
You all need to sit together, you know, or whatever, or at a wedding or whatever. But yeah, it is one of those things that you would think would be more intuitive, but for whatever reason, it isn't. I think people are very focused on, you know, their lives and what their charters are and all of that. And sometimes they don't see that aspect of it. And but I think that's changed over the years, and I think it's changed over time. And it's just something that I think we need to keep talking about and pushing and asking for, you know. That's the other thing too, is that I have a modicum of influence in the world, in this particular world, you know, and that, you know, because Heather said, you know, it goes, you know, semi far, but the feedback is super important when you're on calls with Microsoft people, or you're filling out surveys, or you're going to events.
Yes.
Those things are really important, because that is data, and that is bulk data. And when I can say 50 people said, and I think it too, or a hundy or whatever,
right,
that gives me the hoof and the fodder to go in and really raise my fist and fight for things.
That's a great segue. My next question was around, success metrics and how Microsoft views success. Because one of the difficulties is that if you're doing metrics wrong around community, is that you basically penalize the small community events because there weren't a lot of people there. It's like, right, we're building. It was highly successful with the 40 people that showed up. I mean, I for years ran an event in Bend, Oregon. The biggest we ever got was we had 98 attendees. We were like massive success for that small community that we, the first time we did it, I think we had 45, 50 attendees. So to grow, to double in size in a couple of years. And that was success. Now that compared to, 6,500 people showing up to the, Power Platform Conference in Vegas, Microsoft says, well, we're going to go and do this. How do you measure success when you're looking at these community initiatives?
There's like 4,000 ways I could answer that. But let's see, I'll pick one. Attendance is always counted, right? That is something that is counted. Now, I think you have to take that in the construct and a grain of salt of what you're looking at too, right? There's also, what you said about your Bend event, 98, that was awesome for that event. And so you have to have people that understand how to also talk about these things and you're scoping it correctly from the get-go and that you have put measurements in place, right? Like I love the fact that we had that many people at the conference, right? And I'm a Midwestern athlete as well back in the day. So I'm super competitive. So I'm always like, we did that or whatever. But the thing is that is not the only measure and it shouldn't be like, oh, we're going to try and top each other every time. And mine was yours and this and that. And that to me is frankly boring. And I want people to go away from a conference feeling so moved that they write something on LinkedIn, on a post, or to they send it to me, or they tweet it, or they write a blog post about how their lives got changed. Like that's the stuff, right? That is amazing and anecdotal.
Those are like the actual, so it's the difference between attendance and engagement metrics. Mm-hmm. So if, because your earlier point, if people fill out the survey, and I know there's industry data out there for every survey that's completed versus the people that, should have kind of things, but so it has a little more weight, but you look at where people are actually engaged. If they log on an application, that doesn't mean that they're actually doing anything in the application. If they're creating content, if they're answering a survey, a poll, things around that, if they're commenting, if they're active in, collaborating within that, those engagement metrics weigh so much more than just a login or I sold this many tickets.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's like the thing about being a producer or a marketer is that you're only as good as the metrics you collect. Mm-hmm. And you're only going to get budget and more resources based on the impact of those pieces of data that you collected. So I have a hard time with people who are always like, I don't have time to do my scorecard or my reporting, or I don't have time to do that. And I'm like, well, do you have time to continue to get funded? Because I as a manager and person who's been in positions to give money and resource and different things, I need to be able to show an executive impact and tell the story for a team sometimes about why we need more resources or budget or whatever, or we need to create this initiative, right? So if you're not doing that from the get-go, you're doing yourself and your team and frankly, the community a disservice. And so if you don't have satisfaction surveys set up and ready to go for every time you have a community call and you do it a certain time, you don't do it at the end when everybody's leaving, you do it like a little bit in, you could also give a prize. You could do, there's all kinds of good trickery around surveys.
Trickeries. Maybe not the best way to describe it, but yeah, motivators
or, tricks of the trade. How about that? But
best practices.
Yes. So I think that's super important. So I do think, there's monthly active users is something that's looked at, satisfaction scores, those surveys that pop up that say, how likely are you to recommend this to a friend? People do look at that. If you just close it, then, we're not seeing you know, what you're saying, filing bugs when you see something that's messed up in your, you know, in a program. And if you're like, eh, whatever, and you don't file it, then, you know, nobody fixes that, you know, or doesn't know. And the more, you know, bugs get reported on certain things, it goes up in the chain. So that stuff is really important. So, you know, monthly active users, engagement metrics, we do track certain things, you know, did clicks and opens and reads and all of that. And if it's on a platform, it's being tracked. But I think, you know, community metrics can be a little wiggly, you know, yeah, because there's those anecdotal and feeling that, like, you know,
the qualitative versus the quantitative. Yeah. And it's, well, that's why it's, I always say in general, looking at metrics is be very careful, be informed by them. Yeah. Don't look at any metric. I mean, this is coming from, you know, a PM operational background,
yeah,
at metrics, and you'd have managers that would live and die by the spreadsheet and be like, that's one slice of data that you're looking at, does not reflect other data points of what's actually happening, and the human factors of what's happening. And so you just be careful with that. Well, I've got one last question for you. So I'm interested in understanding some, like the differences in approach to community, how it's evolved and changed. Let me ask it to you this way, though. Knowing what you know now, if you suddenly found yourself time traveled back to you 20 years ago, and you were going to go and create a community, how would you do it? What would you do? So your brain, it's your brain today, 20 years ago, going to build a community. Like, what are the pieces? Like, what would you do?
Oh, goodness. I would first build some consensus to make sure I had all the players at the table who were going to be a part of the community to start. Instead of just going off and building something.
You mean jumping into a community, into a partnership with people that you really don't know? Is that wrong? Should we not do that again? I'm not thinking of any specific people.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Totally thinking of specific people, but anyway. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I think that to me, everything, I'm a collaborator, right? And so I'm not a silo single, you know, person. So I definitely would be looking to, like, figure, like, who wants to be a part of this? Who should be a part of it? How should we, you know, and talk about those things together? I also think that I would probably be way more prescriptive about processes and documentation, because there's just the recreation of the wheel that happens, and this is every business, I think, but, you know, it's mind bending. Sometimes there's a lot of things that have great processes and great, you know, tools that we use and all of that, but some things that I'm like, I cannot believe we're still making a spreadsheet for this.
Yeah.
You know, that I'm like, I just don't get it, you know? So that, to really, really make things that then become company-wide, you know, right, that it's the process that everybody uses and we all buy into, that sort of thing. Those are some things. And then also just making sure that, you know, again, a lot of the things we're doing now where we're really, I hope, where we have Microsoft folks thinking and dreaming, and we have the community folks thinking and dreaming, and we're doing that thinking and dreaming together. That's super important, because you're, you know, if not, you're building in a vacuum. And that's terrible, you know, and also just not paying attention to people's feedback or even taking it in, you know, saying that you are, please give us feedback, but then, you know, you like toss it over here. And you don't even.
Well, I have a small round receptacle next to my desk for all the feedback. Yes.
Right. Yes.
Well, I mean, one of the things when I think of teams that run communities well, my mind instantly goes to probably one of my favorite of the old SharePoint Saturday events, which is the Minnesota, the Minneapolis team. And part of it is because, the Twin Cities team is because it's the same core group of people that have been running it. So they know their roles, they can do it with their eyes closed, and they go and do that. But what's different about that is like there are always new people involved. It's not like that's there's a core group.
Yeah, this is
kind of one of those secrets, and everybody that's done local community understands this. There's a whole lot of people that says, "Oh, I want to get involved," who then don't show up to any other meetings.
It's the 80s.
Like they show up that one time, you know. It's like, so you want people that are going to stick around and participate and help. But they seem to really do that well. But finding that it really is the hardest part is start exactly your point. Find those people that are that similar passion for that core group and that understand you can't just talk about it. We need to actually do this stuff. Here's what needs to be done. Here's the plan.
Yeah. Yeah. And people that share things with each other. I mean, that's part of a lot of the things with the MGCI that we're working on building is that bringing community members in to be like, hey, do you have a template for this email thing? Or do you have a template for sponsorship? Or I'll give a lot of credit. Remerit, who is one of my colleagues at Microsoft, she runs the data platform MVPs and a lot of stuff for Fabric and Power BI. Jason as well, Himmelstein as well. They are sharers of information. Yep. Like they are some of my favorite people in the world and also closest collaborators because we share stuff with each other all the time. You know, it's like, it's not like, well, I did this and I needed it. No, it's like, hey, I got
it. That's awesome. See, I'm glad that the FabCon that just happened, the Fabric conference, the first one, they've already announced the date for next year, you know, but it looked like it was a huge success. I think it blew out the numbers that they were expecting and was much but bigger. So,
Well, and Jason was the track owner for us for Power BI for the first two MPPCs, and he helped me so much. And so he shadowed, you know, me, and I've shadowed him, and that's that cool thing that comes from, I think, also being community minded is that, you know, I don't do I want credit for my ideas and big thoughts and all that stuff? Of course I do, you know. However, like somebody takes something and they're like, you know, runs off and makes it their own, I'm super happy with, you know, like a lot of the times, you know, if somebody takes it and completely rips it off, that makes me mad. But, you know, like, but genuinely, like, please, I'm putting these things out there in the world for people to take and do stuff with. And I think that's everybody in the community, you know, roles at Microsoft, I think, are very much like that, which is exciting. And then everybody in the community always helps each other. I mean, you see it all over the place.
Yep.
So that's what it's about, I think. So.
Well, great final words. I really appreciate your time, Heather, and I'm sure I'll see you very soon. As I said to Adam when I spoke with him a couple of weeks back, is I'm going to see you like a dozen times this year. So we'll see you at the next one.
Yes, see you soon, and see you all soon, and be well, and give each other some grace, and give yourself some grace because that's really important these days. So.
You've been listening to the Collab Talk podcast. New episodes are published weekly, and you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and most other podcast platforms. Thanks for listening.